All right, final hour, 9:05. It is Al and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Built Ford Tough Studio, 888-808-1019 is the number. We get back to the Mets and the Yankees, who open up three-game series tonight. The Mets are in Baltimore. The Yankees take on the Mariners. Get back to that in just a moment. But just to kind of continue and finish the conversation and add to it, number one, we will have the Roastmaster himself, Jeff Ross, in studio tomorrow, which I'm looking forward to, at 8:30 tomorrow morning. So that's kind of cool. He's got a one-man show coming up in August. I heard him on an interview, and I asked Al to see if we could get him in here. And Al has done a great job to get him here tomorrow. But we were talking about biggest non-sports guests before the break through the years. Now, I came up with a couple. I came up with Dan Rather, and I came up with Hulk Hogan's a wrestler.
Who's the other one I said?
I said one other one, too, during the break. Dan Rather was one, and Donnie Wahlberg.
See, yes. I don't think he's that big. I think Mark Wahlberg's a big star.
Blue Bloods? That's a huge show. And he's got a new show called Boston Blue that's starting this fall on CBS. So he's pretty big.
When you said who's the biggest guest, and I asked physically.
Yes.
Physically biggest guest had to be Shaq.
I would think.
Big Show, the wrestler, was in here. That was a big dude.
How big is that? I remember, but Shaq, I know, was 7'2", 350.
You want to know the Big Show?
Yeah.
And then that time I had Andre the Giant in here, Jerry. He's 7'4", 500 pounds.
You never had him in here.
Paul White, Jerry, he's 7 foot.
Okay.
But he's not the tallest guest I've ever had in here.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. We had him in.
We did have Kareem Abdul. Yes. Let me see how tall he is, Jerry.
Well, Kareem and Shaq have to be somewhat of a similar size.
Kareem.
7'1", 7'2".
Kareem, you said, Jerry?
Yes.
He's 7'2".
And Shaq might be 7'1", actually.
I had a man in here who was 7'7" once. He played for the Harlem Globetrotters, and his name was Tiny.
Yep.
Paul Sturgis.
I do remember that.
7'7".
Yep. I forgot about that.
Yeah. There was a time during the run of the show where I was trying to find the tallest guest ever.
Well, I think you did. Because I don't know where else you're going beyond 7'7".
7'7", yeah.
My God, that's some summer you had there.
Because Andre the Giant was only 7'4".
7'4", sorry.
But he was 525 pounds.
It's Melissa Etheridge.
She was a big star.
That's right.
She's a big celebrity.
Geo.
Yeah, she's big.
That's a good one.
Right.
And then you said
the other one you said,
Maury Povich and Dr. Phil.
They were big. And Dr. Phil. Remember when Dr. Phil checked to see if I was pregnant?
He's such an idiot. No, but I remember checking our testosterone. I remember that.
Yeah, that was so fugazi.
Fake.
David Duchovny, Henry Winkler.
Oh, I like that. The Fonz. Yeah.
Fonzie is a big name.
See, it's funny. You really think on the surface they're mostly sports guests, and then you start to pick it apart, and then one by one, it's a lot of big names through the years.
I remember the ones that were a big deal when they were coming, like really straighten up.
Mm-hmm.
Serena Williams came in one time. We were like, we got straighten up for Serena Williams.
Now, that I don't remember.
Yeah.
And I love Serena. I don't remember her coming.
You had her in here, Jerry?
Maybe I wasn't here.
Oh, we had a lot of big stars come through here.
We did. And Jeff Ross tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. Steve in Newark. What's up, Steve?
Guys, Shaq was not, even Big Show was not the largest non-athlete to be on your show. It would be ex-Governor Chris Christie.
Rude. Very rude, sir. Chris Christie just enjoying driving around and this schlub calls in.
Well, but he's also wrong because he was a host.
He was a host.
So what?
Yeah, exactly, sir. So what?
I didn't remember that. Yeah, he filled in a lot with Craig.
Yeah.
Mostly. And then there was the one, I think he filled in with Evan. I'm not even joking.
He filled in with Evan, yes.
And Evan walked out of the studio every break because he didn't know what to say to him.
Yeah.
And he was uncomfortable. And Craig did not take, I didn't yell at him, but he didn't take kindly, like, where are you going? And he left him in there during every break.
You know what I used to think about when Chris Christie, who was the governor of New Jersey at the time, he would fill in for Boomer some days. And we were on television like we are right now. And I used to, I would come in and I'd put the commercials. So it was not weird for me to walk into the studio. I was like, if I walk in right now and put him in a headlock, I'd be on CNN, right?
Yes.
If I just try to wrestle him to the ground.
That would go viral.
That would have been
quickly.
Wild.
Yes. there's a few things you could do now that you would make the rounds. Number one, do something like that with a celebrity or a public figure.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going to pick up on it. The second thing would be, thank you, Rami, would be quit live on the air.
Yeah.
Like get into it with Boomer or Gio.
You know
or
what,
Eddie.
Boomer? Stick it.
Yes. And then walk
and
out.
And walk right out of there.
And literally, that's it. You're gone.
And yeah, that would go viral, right?
That would be more than just awful announcing.
Yeah, but like if I put Chris Christie in a headlock, that
TMZ Sports.
That would have been on CNN.
Yes, I do agree with that.
Fox News.
And do you think there would be a clamor then for Al to produce somewhere else?
You know what?
Let's get that guy who put the governor in a headlock.
But he happens to be right. All of a sudden, the bad guy turns into the wanted guy.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Right. I could go get a job like somewhere that's whatever is against Chris Christie's politics. You know what I mean? Like, I had to listen, you guys did nothing but sit here and talk. I put the guy in a headlock.
Could you imagine seeing Alan pop up on CNN on a Tuesday morning at 8 a.m.? Imagine him talking about world politics.
Like, I walk in, I put Chris Christie in a headlock. Then he just stands up and just slams me onto the table. Here, man, that would have been huge news. Let me ask,
would you become part of the Chris Christie meme that's out there on the beach?
Yeah. There'd be one of him on the beach, one of him slamming me into the table.
Oh, I meant you with the headlock.
Oh, me in the headlock,
I didn't mean you with him. Man, oh, man. All right, so that's not a good one because he was a host.
He was not a guest.
So then what are we settling on as the biggest one?
I'd really have
to... Smollett the Esridge.
I'd really have to look. I don't know.
Because she's a good one. She's worldwide. I don't know if she is anymore, but she... Yeah, I mean, Melissa Etheridge.
It's Melissa Etheridge.
Melissa Etheridge.
Is it Melissa or Melitha?
Melissa.
Oh, okay.
Melissa Etheridge.
It sounds like he's saying something different.
He is. That's the whole point. I would think she would have sold out stadiums back in the day.
I don't think she was a stadium.
You don't think so?
Arena for sure. Arena rock.
All right, but not just in the States. Like, I'm sure she did world tours.
Yeah.
That's all, I would think. So, and speaking of this, and I know this is off topic, but so be it. The Aussie thing the other day. How much of did you see? I know you
saw
some
clips.
Of it. It's weird. On one hand, I turn it on, and again, I saw clips like you did. I didn't see the concert. I don't know if anybody even posted the whole concert. It was fine, and I do believe this is the final one for him. I don't think we're going to see him next summer unless he's wheeled in on a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Because as it is, they had him in a gigantic black chair that lifted from the ground. He was in full makeup, never got up. I don't think he could.
No, he has to stay seated.
And what was weird to me was there were some songs he sounded pretty good. Other songs, not so much.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I came away from it. I didn't know if I thought it was really cool or really sad.
Yeah, I saw reactions like that, like yours. When faster songs like Crazy Train, he sounded better because the music's louder, right? And Mama, I'm Coming Home, his voice did not sound great, but I think people appreciated the honesty and the delivery of the song. You know, that it was Ozzy.
Yeah, sure.
It was One Final Time. It was a slow song. I think if it was a full tour, it would feel sad-ish. But because it was a one-off, it was kind of cool.
And it was what? It was in London, right?
It was in London, yeah. That guy was like the biggest mystery to me when I was a kid. Like when I was in junior high. Like
and because of?
Just the mystery of what Ozzy Osbourne was back then. Like, we don't have social media. It was before him and his family were kind of goofballs on reality TV. They call him the Prince of Darkness. Like he was in like 1982, Ozzy Osbourne was a mysterious, all you heard were stories. He's a devil worshiper. Did you know Ozzy Osbourne sacrifices a puppy on stage every night? Ozzy Osbourne chews the heads off bats. He's the devil.
I remember that too.
Yeah. And it turns out he's just a fun guy.
Yeah. Well, that's where the reality TV is interesting in the sense of it. You know, Greg used to talk about humanizing Boomer. It more than humanized Ozzy. As you used the word perfectly, he just seems like a fun goofball.
I remember in one of the episodes he was fighting with the remote control, and he goes, "I'm the Prince of Darkness." And he's fighting. You know, he can't figure out how to change the channel.
Yeah. And think about all the different lives he's had within his one life.
Yeah.
Which is, and his wife too. The whole thing is remarkable, but I don't know. It was interesting. They said goodbye. It was well done. It was cool to see. The one thing he did, and I don't fault him. He's an older man, but this has become a thing now at concerts that again, I might be in the minority. I can't stand this, though. When we take the mic out and let the audience, like, we paid to see you guys do the song. And it's not just like a line. Sometimes it'll be a whole verse. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't care for that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I forgive Ozzy because he's very old.
I agree.
But I'll give you a perfect example. So I didn't end up going to that Counting Crows show. So I was like, you know what? Let me check this out on YouTube. And there were a bunch of songs posted from PNC and Jones Beach. And Rain King, which I love.
Yep, great song.
He kept putting the mic out for the chorus of Rain King. Like,
is that them being bored? Or is that them because the songs are so popular? Hey, you guys enjoy this. I don't know. I don't like it.
I'm with you. I want to hear them. And Bruce Springsteen would do Hungry Heart. And it became a thing in the concerts where the audience would sing the whole first verse. But then he would repeat it. Like he wasn't.
That's fine.
Yeah, he wasn't using it in place of him doing it.
As long as you do the song, that's fine. But in a lot of these cases, especially concerts I see and I've been to, they don't sing the whole song. They're singing half the song, and the audience is singing half the song. And then there's times, too, where half the audience isn't even singing the song, and it sounds like, what are we doing?
Yes.
You know, and you're listening to an instrumental of a song that we kind of recognize.
The other thing Counting Crows do, which people hate, is they sing the songs different than you know them.
Ooh.
You know.
See, that would be troublesome for me.
They do, like, Mr. Jones, not like you know it from the radio. That bothers some people.
Yeah, well, because it's not the song.
Yeah, it's not the same song.
And I've said that to you before about when I saw Bob Dylan. It would take me sometimes a minute or two into the song to even know what in the hell he was singing or saying. And also, we've done the late night stuff where he's been a guest, and then he goes and does the song. You don't know what it is. So, I'm with those people. I don't like that either.
Yeah.
I don't like that either.
But I did enjoy the clips I saw of Ozzy. And I saw there, you know, Steven Tyler we saw perform.
Yeah, a whole lot of love, I think, right?
Yeah, it was really good. I know Metallica performed. What was funny is Ozzy was excited to meet Axl Rose.
Because
he had never met him.
How is that possible? That in the last 50 years, they've never crossed paths?
No, never crossed paths.
It's amazing.
And you got to remember, Axl Rose hit in 1986.
Yeah.
Ozzy was huge.
Yeah, he was it.
And then imagine you're Axl Rose and this Ozzy Osbourne's excited to meet you. That's pretty cool.
I would think, cool. Well, I mean, that would be for you the equivalent of all of a sudden Baba Booey or Howard Stern
want to meet
or excited to meet you.
Howard Stern's penis.
Okay. That's the equivalent, though, in our business, I would certainly think.
Yes.
That they're happy to meet you, not the other way around. One other thing, too, because you mentioned the whole mystery surrounding Ozzy, and even Black Sabbath, you mentioned Metallica. It's fascinating to me that back in the 80s, bands like that got so popular with very limited radio play.
Yeah, I still have no idea how I knew Metallica songs.
Where did you hear them?
I don't know. The only thing I think of is Seton Hall Radio, WSOU. I think they may have been playing
them. I'm sure they did, but were the masses listening to that to make these bands so incredibly popular?
Even Ozzy back then, I bought Blizzard of Oz and Diary of a Madman, they weren't on the radio. Like, it's weird to me, like, Crazy Train was a great song when it came out in 1981, and it didn't hit until, like, a decade later when they started playing it at stadiums. I don't know how probably after his reality show, I don't know. But I don't know how we knew any of those.
Well, didn't K-Rock, like, and I mean prior to it going to all, when it was classic rock, they didn't play any of that stuff?
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think they played Ozzy. The big... And also, like, when you think of rap back then, like Public Enemy and NWA, their stuff got so popular. That was, you couldn't play it with headlong curses in it.
I guess
how
it
that
was
got popular with no internet.
Word of mouth, cassette to cassette, peer to peer. I don't know.
Well, think about it. I don't know where you are in life with the Jerky Boys.
We passed around the tape.
Passed around the tape.
We did, yes.
That wasn't an actual tape that was purchased at the time. That tape just got passed around and passed around.
And we all knew
Jerky Boys, and we all had it, and we all knew it.
God, that was the internet.
I'll sue you.
That was the internet before the internet.
Yeah.
That is pretty wild.
My glasses broke.
I don't remember them the way you do. I remember them. I remember, hey, your refrigerator's running. Go catch it. All that nonsense. But I don't remember.
The Jerky Boys? Oh, yeah. They were great. The one Jerky Boy, he would call up the mechanic. He would get a call. Help wanted mechanic. Hey, I'm coming down there. I'm take the job. They're like, well, we haven't interviewed you yet. I'll bring my toolbox.
Stupid. Amy in Queens.
You.
What's up, Amy?
Hi. This
how
is
are
Amy
you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I have to disagree with you about audience involvement in the band concerts. I actually like when they hand us the mic or show us the mic and you know, want us to sing along. I think it engages the audience, and I find it's fun.
Hey, I must be in the minority because I'm sure a lot of people do like it. I don't. I figure I'm paying $250 a ticket to see them sing the song. I want them to sing the song.
You would probably like it if you were drunk. I think when people are drinking at shows, they love different things.
When people drink, that all of a sudden the walls come down and you definitely do different things.
Everything's fun.
I do agree with that, but you're not always drunk at a show.
Yeah, I don't mind if the audience sings along if you also sing it as the singer of the band.
That's fine.
Right?
I'm talking about putting the mic out and all you hear is the music and the crowd is singing the song.
Correct.
One more before the break. Andrew and Lawrence. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I usually don't call for the afternoon, but a real pleasure speaking to you both.
Thank you.
I just wanted... So I'm 56, so I kind of understand the whole music thing. MTV in the early 80s was a big proponent with all these bands. They used to do concerts and other shows, other contests. So, I mean, I just remember listening to the radio. I remember Ozzy, but obviously not as big, but... There were other ways that a lot of people heard about their music.
Yeah, I forgot. You're right. I forgot about MTV, like 1981, 82.
Yeah, when they broke out. And he's right. They used to run concerts late at night on the weekends, and they had an Ozzy concert in 1981, which I remember watching. The other one I remember watching in that era, which really was like, what is going on here? Judas Priest.
Oh, yeah.
That dude rolled up in all leather, screaming for vengeance, Jerry.
Yes. That's hard, hardcore right there.
His leather biker. Did people know he was... I guess people didn't know he was gay at the time.
I didn't know Rob Halford. I didn't know till
Judas
right now.
Priest.
I didn't know. I never knew that.
Oh, yes.
I did not know that.
Oh, Judas... Yeah, he's a... I'm not outing Rob Halford. He is a gay man.
Okay.
But he was... And he even... I remember he used to come on Eddie Trunk's show on NEW. He used to say to people, like, I was wearing leather chaps.
Yeah, but the music... You looked right through. Who cares? They rocked it.
If I may, Jerry, I have a quick Rob Halford story. Yeah. So this was during my Ron and Fez era on WNEW, and Eddie Trunk would do a heavy metal show after us on Friday nights, 11 o'clock at night. So on this one particular Friday night, they were forcing me to eat ham, which I didn't like.
Okay.
I didn't want to eat ham. So they force-fed me ham. They tied my arms behind my back, blindfolded me, put ham in my mouth, and put duct tape over my... So Rob Halford walked in on this. And he goes, oh, what do we have here? I was duct taped.
Did he partake in it?
No. You know why? Because I yelled through my duct tape, I'll sue you. He goes, okay, goodbye.
Gotta go.
Yeah.
But you had some time.
Well, it was a good time over there.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah. So, but I got to tell you, though, like as an eighth grader and you put on MTV and Judas Priest is out there, live concert.
That was a good call by Andrew. I forgot about MTV.
MTV, yeah.
Pretty good. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got CeeLo coming in next. More of your calls later. 888-808-1019 is the number. Al and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
I'm going to take this one, Jerry. Welcome back to the Boomer and Geo Show. That's what I'm talking about. By the way, Eddie Trunk checked in, Jerry.
Nice.
And he said, let's see what he said here. Love the Rob Halford story. His actual line when he saw you was, quote, if I knew this was going on, I would have brought my whips. Yeah, Jerry. Wow. I could have made out with Rob Halford if I wanted to that night.
By the way, Rami, he found it on YouTube, the audio of this. So I don't know if you can find it or not, but it'll be interesting to hear.
Bark at the moon. You know, at least send this to Rami, and if he can hear, if there's anything fun there. So that was Bark at the Moon, Jerry.
Bark Ozzy. At the Moon. That was probably the first Ozzy song that I enjoyed as a kid.
Yeah, that was a big MTV hit because he was dressed like a werewolf.
Andrew was right then. Andrew was right when he talked about how we learned about bands such as Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne, then later Metallica.
Yeah.
Somehow I got hooked into Iron Maiden. I don't think that was from MTV.
No. Well, they had Run to the Hills was on MTV.
Run to the Hills. I remember we've talked about this. The Trooper was like my first like favorite song.
Yeah. They also were the devil music because they had a song called 666, the number of the beast.
Mm.
I still don't know what that means. But if you were a devil worshiper back then, you would put 666 everywhere.
Interesting.
That's when the beast was returning, Jerry.
The beast is coming back.
The devil was going to come on June 6th, and then like 1986 or 1996 or 2006. Or I guess the next time the beast can come is June 6th of next year, 2026.
Okay.
So
we'll hold on. Revelation.
Revelations.
What about in June 2066?
Yeah, that would be a good one. But there's six different numbers involved. I'm talking, Jerry.
666.
Let it be known here. Jerry thinks the beast is coming June 6th, 2066.
Why stop there? June 6th of the year 6,666.
Well, that's like that dumb song that talks about in the year 20. Right? What was that song?
In the year 2525.
Yeah. Really yeah. Silly. Mm-hmm. Very silly. Right on topic. Bob in Michigan. What's up, Bob?
The New York Rangers have the physicality, size, and goaltending to win the Stanley Cup in 2026?
Al, go ahead, take that one.
That's a great question.
Bob.
Bob. Thank you, Bob. I'm glad you called. They're a bunch of wusses. We know this.
No.
Bunch of
wuss boys.
They're a bunch of wuss boys.
Bob, I took your call now because CeeLo is in the studio and he is the big Ranger guy here. Yeah. So
I would actually concur with Al. I mean, he's just throwing an answer out there. But
look at you.
No. As currently constructed, no, I don't think that they are.
All right.
I mean, things can change. We've got to see what this new version of the Rangers looks like when we get back out on the ice. But no. Can they hang with the Florida Panthers? I don't think so.
Bob, how old a man are you?
I'm 70.
70, nice.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you like the Rangers out in Michigan, and good luck next season. CeeLo, the resident Ranger guy here, says no, they cannot hang with the best team.
Well, so. he also asked, are they physical enough to make it? Yeah. I don't think they're a physical team, no.
You ever listen to Judas Priest?
Yeah.
Sir?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank
you. Peter? Bob? Somebody?
Sir.
Hello? Anybody?
Sir. But sir. He was totally caught off guard.
Yes,
you're like right on topic, and you hear him fumbling for the ball. Hello? Wait. Okay.
I didn't want to. Rami told me he was a little older. I didn't want to leave him on hold.
No, I appreciate that.
And I figured you were here.
Right on topic. Bob! Rangers.
Anyhow, that is the voice of Chris Lopresti, by the way, coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio, and now with an update to CeeLo.
By the way, Boomer and I, our latest Rangers podcast we did just before vacation last week.
You got
week,
more than 700 views?
Check that out. I'm
you
not
don't look at
to,
it.
Where?
What on, do you mean, YouTube.
On YouTube.
Oh.
Just the YouTube. I'm going to get your numbers right here.
I'm not sure they put this one on YouTube.
They did. I saw it.
All right,
audio
then.
Only.
Oh, boy, I'm putting myself on the spot here. It was a holiday weekend, keep in mind. That's why I'm saying if you missed it last week, we've recovered everything that's gone on Rangers offseason so far.
What do you got?
I can punt that lick. That lick.
What?
That
You're
link.
Punting a lick?
I can punt that link back out there for everybody, or at least on the Odyssey app.
So maybe it's not on YouTube. Okay. Well, whatever. It's out there. Check it out.
I just reposted it on
Odyssey,
my Twitter X feed.
iHeart, all the places.
There
iTunes.
You go. Okay. Well, while you guys look into that, go ahead, Al.
Jerry, you and I currently have a video on YouTube from this morning. Al and Jerry ripped the Jets. It has 116 views.
Already?
By the way,
in fairness, it's only been
Jets?
Up for 26 minutes.
No, I didn't rip the Jets. Right? Oh, maybe Al did, talking about they've
I didn't rip nothing.
Well, you said there's no excitement after Justin Fields, and also you think Aaron Glenn isn't what he appears to
All
be.
Right, good point,
I don't
Jerry.
Think you ripped him, though. But,
no.
Okay.
But we do have a clickbait one out there, what's the future of WFAN? That'll get a lot.
Oh, that's good. That'll be a good
one. No, it's future of Boomer.
What's that?
Future of Boomer.
Yeah.
That's what
no,
we did.
But this one from today when you were talking about 20 years.
Okay.
All
Very
right.
Good.
Where
about
will we
that?
Be in?
Wow, 116 views. You're not kidding.
Well, it just came out, Jerry.
Thank God.
I mean, people aren't on it yet.
It's embarrassing. What do you got, Chris?
40 or so an hour, not bad. All right, brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Phillies lost to the Giants last night in San Francisco 3-1. So the Mets, when they resume play tonight, are within a game of Philadelphia atop the NL East. You get the Mets and the Orioles down at Camden Yards. Clay Holmes and rookie Brandon Young, who's 0-3 with an ERA of 7. It's a 6:35 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio. Now back to the Phils for a second. A little leftover from Sunday, their series finale against the Reds. John Kruk with Tom McCarthy on the TV broadcast.
They seem NBC like a talk show
Sports
every night.
They have a lot of fun. They have a lot of fun. For sure. So they're talking Kyle Schwarber and his improvements at the plate over the years, learning how to have success as a lefty batter, specifically a power hitter facing lefty pitching. So you might recall that infamous Kruk Randy Johnson at bat in the All-Star
Absolutely.
Game in 93.
He's afraid to swing, yes.
He may never have faced him, by the way. That was pre-interleague play. I know Randy Johnson started with the Expos for a couple years, right. So maybe they faced each other, but that one was definitely pretty infamous. So here was Kruk talking about Schwarber facing lefty.
Schwarber was asking about hitting off lefties to throw hard. I forget who told him this, but he said the only way you can go up there is you got to be prepared to die.
Yeah, that's where it all changed for him.
Sell out.
His success against lefties.
Yep.
Somebody gave him that advice.
Got to be prepared to die. Wow.
All right. Now, as he continued, things got a little edgy.
Not that we condone death on the baseball field.
Right. That's a good figure of speech.
Yeah. Just an analogy.
Yep.
You know what the first four letters of analogy are, though? Oh, you shouldn't have said that.
I'm going to get in trouble.
I'm not really sure what he was going for there. Obviously, I know what the first four letters are, but I don't
Maybe
know
Maybe people
what
are
the
anal over
is.
Talking about things and using analogies. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't get it either.
It was
I
a little
listened
strange.
To it yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
A little uncomfortable there. The awkward silence in between. Yeah. In any event, the Phillies are in first place, as are the Blue Jays, who won their 9th in a row, 8-4 atop the White Sox. It's their longest winning streak in 10 years. So they've got a 3.5-game lead over the Yankees.
Michael K must wake up and be like, you got to be kidding.
Yeah, I know.
They won again.
Well, they're facing the White Sox. So
I know, but at some point, like seriously, 9 in a row?
Yeah.
Why not make it 10 or 11 now?
Sure, they might. Yankees Mariners tonight at the stadium. Will Warren and Logan Gilbert, 6:25, pregame on the Fan and the free Odyssey app. So we've reached that point in the season where the Yankees have had some struggles. And fans and callers want Aaron Boone fired. So if you're not going to listen to Chris McMonagle here on The Fan try to talk you down, perhaps you'll take it from longtime MLB insider Ken Rosenthal, who gave some extended thoughts on his show, Foul Territory.
When fans talk about getting a new manager, we want a new manager. We want a more fiery manager. Well, okay, but guess what? Those managers don't really exist anymore. Think about this for a minute. Name a manager right now who holds players publicly accountable. I can't think of any who do that.
And the only one he said was maybe Ron Washington, who's now on medical leave for the rest of the year. So basically,
the only guy available would be like Ozzie Guillen.
Right.
And he's not even managing anymore.
Saying stuff on the White Sox postgame show.
That is true.
So you don't really make them that way anymore, or they don't pick them that way because it doesn't jive with the guys who actually go out on the field and play.
They're pretty much all the same personality. And the reason they're like that is because if you rip players publicly, you lose players. And when you lose players, then as a manager, you are in big trouble. The best managers, what they do is they keep their teams going. They keep them playing.
Which is where he started the thought where I guess Jazz Chisholm was the one that revealed after they got swept by the Blue Jays, Boone told the team, you're the best team in baseball. And people were bothered by that. That it's like you just lost 4 in a row and you're pumping these guys up, telling them how great they are. So he finished up and circled up and wrapped things up, I should say, this way.
But you tell me who that fiery manager is that you want to replace Aaron Boone. Earl Weaver, Billy Martin, Jim Leland, they're not walking through that door. That's not the modern manager.
Would you throw like Terry Collins into that conversation?
No, I think he was a player's manager.
Fully?
I do.
He was like a nice blend, no?
I don't. I was never in the locker room. I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah. Intense,
fiery
sure,
with the media, though, at times.
Yes.
So perhaps.
And certainly with Tom Hallion at a certain point.
Yes. It's got to be very difficult, too, with these guys making so much more money than they make, and head coaches, too, in basketball. Like, unless the manager's an older man, I wonder, too, like, at what point, like, Bruce Bochy commands respect. He's an older man. He's won a World Series, won a couple of World Series now. You know he's in charge. You hire a manager who is only a few years older than, say, the oldest player on your roster. How do the guys view him? You know, if you're Aaron Judge, who seems to respect everybody, that's a different story. But I don't know. If you're one of these high-priced free agent guys that comes walking in, you're going to tell me what I have to do?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it depends on when you say, like, a Bochy who's sort of on the tail end. You know, sometimes the player might feel like this old guy. You know,
maybe.
He doesn't understand the way
still
today's
winning,
game
though,
works. Oh, no, he is. I'm not poking holes in him. It's just maybe the younger manager appeals to the player now because they feel like, hey, this guy's not that far removed from playing in this more modern era that we're going through. Maybe he understands a little bit better what it's like day in and day out from that standpoint. But
interesting. Tough, though. Hiring a lot of younger guys, it's got to be difficult.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of out of time. So before I get to moment of the day, this was kind of funny. I don't know if you saw this because the guy tagged all of us, but I didn't. This racehorse that escaped Monmouth Park over the weekend was running down Route 36.
Really? When was it? I didn't.
Over the weekend, yeah. Just there's video of it if you want to. Just jogging down the side of the highway, and some guy caught it on tape. So guy I recognize from Twitter, X, James Baxter, wrote, the horse is trying to avoid seeing Al when he goes to Monmouth Park in a couple of Sundays.
July 20th. I'll see you out there, 1 o'clock.
Had to escape and run down the road, make sure he's not there for the Al Dukes appearance.
So. I think I get to run in a race. I'm going to get on the back of a horse.
You're such an idiot.
Giddy up.
I would pay to see you that. I would pay
you
to go see
that. You
could
die on that horse.
Yeah. Well, that's why they're professional jockeys.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why you got to be professional.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I weigh too much. I weigh too much.
You
to
think
be
you
a
weigh
jockey.
More than a jockey?
Yes, for sure. Jockeys are like 118 pounds.
What are you, 140?
152.
Mm. Oh, you put some weight on.
Hell yeah, Jerry. Muscle. Straight up muscle.
Sure.
I'm working on that osteoporosis. That's the bones, but you know.
Yeah. Got to strengthen the bones.
Very good, Al. All right, let's get to moment of the day because we were talking time and years and how much of it has passed here at the radio station, what the up-and-comers now might be doing in 10, 20 years, and what a younger Al Dukes circa 2008 would think about where the morning show is at now here in 2025.
What did you think you'd be doing in 2025?
That seemed like a 100 all right. years away. I have no idea.
How long did you think the show would still be going in 2015?
In 2015?
Yes. In 2009.
Oh, we're humming along right there. It would have just kept
so
on.
So if I go back in a time machine and I tell 2008 Al Dukes that you are still going to be working in this time slot with Boomer in 2025, you would have said what?
Not likely.
Not likely.
Right, which is why if you ask where those guys are going to be in 10 years, I would think their hope is they're still doing afternoon drive here.
I'm covered in my own piss!
Great. That was future Geo.
Hopefully that's not what Geo is doing in 10 years.
No, it'd be maybe 30 years.
Boomer, maybe. I don't know.
30 years, yeah. No, I'm fascinated by it just because of technology. And I feel like the technology year to year now is much different than technology was in 2007 year to year.
That is true.
Like we're going to have legitimately.
It's almost month to month.
Robots will be. Like, the robot boss wants to see you today,
I don't,
Gary.
I don't
you
got
to go talk
see...
to a robot.
It'll be Grok doing a 24-hour shift.
Let me see what's on FAN. Grok is still on?
Yeah. I think that was the key for Grok. You ask Grok where to go. They tell you Montana. Jerry said, you said you might not come back. And then Grok slides in, takes over your job, and then all the jobs here at the
fan. AI.
Mm-hmm. Thinking 10 steps ahead.
Yeah, everyone thinks AI is going to take over everything.
Well,
that is a fear for a lot of people,
For everything.
A lot of jobs.
There's going to be no jobs. Everyone's going to be... Meanwhile...
Jobless.
I see so many videos, even now, like on YouTube, people can't find jobs. I can't go anywhere where there's not packed with people trying to spend all their money. Like, people just seem to have tons of money to spend.
And restaurants are still packed.
Yeah.
Every night.
So, I don't know...
I feel that, too. I'm like, where is all this money coming from?
I don't know.
People have oodles of money. Just looking at the cars that are driving around the roads, like, you know, it's BMWs and Range Rover. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's like $80,000 cars.
Yes.
Jeez.
You're back tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right, cool. We will see you
tomorrow.
Stuck
with me again tomorrow.
All good. We will see you tomorrow. Thank you, Chris. 9:45. We've got more to do. An interesting call on the board as well, which we will get to that involves Al.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
Come on, Jerry, get your leather on.
Oh, yeah. Get the leather on. Did you find the audio or no?
I don't think it plays well.
Doesn't play well? All right, well,
I was listening to it during the break.
All right. Hey, it brings back memories.
That's sure does, sure. Jerry.
Alan, Jerry, in for Boomer and Geo. So a lot's gone on this morning. We've been really all over the map. Started with football, had some baseball, even some basketball mixed into all of this other stuff. Al is off to Montana next week, so we had some conversation about that, some music stuff. And now Anthony and Hazlitt checking in with Al. What's up, Ant?
Alan, Jerry, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
What up?
What's up? I was over at Bradley Brew Project for the fundraiser. Just want to say Al did a great job. He was interacting with everybody. Even poured me a couple beers. He was slinging down some beers himself, Jerry. You would have been surprised.
You know what? I'm not. On a weekend, I'm not. But when you say beers with an S, that surprises me.
Well, that's how I was.
It was beers with an S. Yeah, he probably had five or six while I was there.
Which is why I was having such a good time interacting with everyone. Because I had many beers.
Had you ever met Al before, Anthony?
I have, yes.
Oh, you have?
A few times.
So nothing surprised you about that event?
No, it was great, but I had to leave early because it was the Devils playoff series with the Hurricanes.
Got it.
So I went to go say bye to Al. I said, yo, thanks for hosting such a great event. I got to go to the Devils game, and in classic Al Dukes fashion, he goes, oh, who are they playing?
And it was only a playoff game. Anthony, thanks for checking in. That is perfect. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was a good time.
And by the way, we worked that morning. We probably said it every hour, Devils Hurricanes tonight. But you check out. By the way, real quick, because it's the end of the show. We haven't mentioned it only because he mentioned the Devils. So there are a lot of good people in this world, and sometimes nothing good ever happens to them, and sometimes good things happen to good people. So Don LaGreca, who has worked at the other radio station forever, he's been aligned with the Jets at times and the Rangers for the last, God, it's got to be the last 7-8 years filling in for Kenny Albert, was announced as the new TV voice for Devils hockey. Now, I say good things happen to good people because Don is one of the best people I've ever met in my life. Known him since 97, since I started working, maybe in 96, 97 when I first started working here. And the cool thing about this, what do I always tell you when I get to do the Cowboy games for Compass Media Networks?
Does the boyhood dream come true?
Yes. Now, for me, it would be if I could do a whole season, it'd be phenomenal. But just doing games here and there is awesome. This guy grew up a Devil fan, and I don't know how many people know it or not. Maybe he doesn't even have it anymore. But back in the day, had a Devil's tattoo on his leg. Like, he loves this team more than, like, anybody. Or anything, maybe the Giants, but so for him to get that job, I mean, that's kind of cool.
What did he do to deserve that, Jerry?
Well, I think the fact that he's done probably 300 or 400 Ranger games in the last 8 years is pretty good.
That'll do it.
And that's through MSG too, I believe, with their radio. So the fact that the two kind of align. Now, I don't know what happened to Bill Spaulding. He was the Devils announcer.
Yeah, that's what I couldn't figure out. He was the Devils announcer only for a couple years.
Right. So I don't know if he quit, if he walked away. I'm not sure, but he is out. Ken Danico is staying on as the color analyst, yes.
We should have booked to this Spaulding guy. I mean, what happened there, Mr. Spaulding?
See if there's anything.
Yeah, it's juicy.
I don't know. Because in every article I read, it really was about Don. It wasn't about Bill.
Yeah.
But and for me, this is about Don. I think it's phenomenal for him. And you talk about, I don't know that there's anything that could top that for him. How could there be?
Well, he was on the Al's Boring Podcast many years ago. That probably was it prior.
That's not going
to
do it.
He came to my house in Basking Ridge, my condo, to record that.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Well, he's a Jersey guy.
Seems like a very nice fella.
He is a very
nice consider him the enemy, though, because he's on ESPN, competition, Jerry.
I get it. We're talking about the hockey, though.
Oh, hockey, right.
What would have been as a kid? I think you're going to say produce the David Letterman show would have been the dream job.
Oh, to work on David Letterman show, yeah.
Or would have been Howard. It would have been Letterman.
Letterman. Howard Stern would have been too scary. That was
in
you
what
don't want
regard?
Get, well, you get in the crosshairs. Oh. You, Howard yell at you. You'd be in trouble. But David Letterman seemed like would have been a cool job for me when I was a younger fella. Of course, I was afraid to come into New York City, so that would not have worked out. Unfortunately,
all true.
Yeah. Or the Mets play-by-play. I was a big Mets play-by-play guy back then.
Well, and I think that's the beauty of Howie and Gary. I think they were both Met fans.
Yeah.
I mean, I know for a fact, Gary, they've talked about going to Shea Stadium as kids and Howie talking about the different sections he used to sit in. Same with Gary. So I think you've got two guys living out that dream. I don't know if Michael Kay grew up a Yankee fan. I have no idea. But now you've got Don doing Devils games, which is really, really cool. And I would guess, now it could be maybe Eddie knows this, maybe he doesn't. I would think Kenny Albert grew up a Knicks and Ranger fan, too, with his dad doing Knicks and Ranger games forever. So you would think he's kind of living the dream as well.
And you're friendly with Don LaGreca?
Yeah, not as much as I used to be, but yes. I mean, back in the day, sure.
Would you be comfortable texting him asking what that pays? Just my own curiosity.
No, I would not be comfortable. I did text him not congratulations. Well, if it's not announced, I'm not. No, what? That's a, I'll tell you this. You tell me what you get paid. I'll let him know, and I'll see if he wants to reciprocate with what he's going
to
get paid.
I'm just saying, well, he just happens to be in the news today. I just thought maybe they would have thrown that in there.
But I thought, so it's funny you say that. I thought of you too yesterday when I saw all the articles that were written about Don. I'm like, this is Al's dream. New job, doesn't have to leave his old job, a new job, and nothing but publicity.
Yeah.
And articles about him.
Yes.
And they got the nice photo. He's at the desk. This is right up your alley.
He should have called the News 12. They would have definitely come down and do an interview with
him. You know, not for nothing, that is a Jersey story.
Absolutely.
He's from North Jersey, now lives in Somerset, Devils fan. Man,
you send a reporter Jim to his house. They'd look over, oh, these are pictures of him in a Devils jersey as a kid, and now he's doing the games. Ken Danico, where you say his name is? Here he is with the Ken Danico jersey as a child.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a great New Jersey story.
Very cool New Jersey. So congratulations.
Do you think he quits his radio job to do that?
I don't know the answer to that. I think it's possible, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
Think it pays $200,000?
I don't know what it pays. What is wrong with you?